If we understand the role of each person of the Trinity, it will change our spiritual life. And here's Skip Heitzik to explain.
More than explaining the Trinity to you or trying to get you to understand it, it's my hope that you will enjoy Him. I want you to enjoy the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Dare I even say, explore the relationship with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. It's not to me important that you understand how the Trinity works as much as what they, the one God, mean in our daily lives.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins. Whoa.
Perhaps you've seen ads for the new car from Google. It's missing a few things we all find useful, like the steering wheel, the gas pedal, and the brake pedal. Fortunately, it does include a chauffeur, a software program designed to keep you safe as it shuttles you to your destination. Now, at times, our spiritual eyes feel a bit like that car. No way to steer them, no way to speed up or slow down, completely reliant on someone other than us to make it work. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzik opens up all three persons of the Trinity, and as he unpacks each one, we'll see how they work in perfect harmony to accomplish God's plan for all of humanity, and for us as individuals. It's all part of our series, The Biography of God. And as we prepare today, we invite you to add Skip Heitzik to your social media for regular updates, encouragement, and more. You can like him on Facebook, follow him on Twitter, or add him to your Instagram feed. So even if you finished your summer vacations, there's one more we're sure you'd have time for. And here's more.
When you read the Bible, it can be hard to picture the places where important events took place. The Jordan River, where Jesus was baptized. The Garden of Gethsemane, where he was betrayed by Judas. And the Sea of Galilee, that he walked on, to name a few. Then there are the places Paul visited during his missionary voyages. The cities of Caesarea and Corinth, Mars Hill, and the richly historic Jerusalem. With this month's Connection resource, you can go on a virtual journey to explore these important biblical lands. The 3-DVD package includes the engaging documentaries, Learning from the Land and The Road to Rome, both hosted by Pastor Skip Heitzik and featuring a number of New Testament locations. Also included is the DVD, Underground Jerusalem, which provides an archaeological look at the hidden treasures of the city. This Connection resource is yours today for just $25. At skipheitzig.com or when you call 1-800-922-1888.
You know, understanding all three persons of the Trinity and their individual roles will not only inspire you, it may radically change the way you live for God. And we'll learn more today as we join Skip for this teaching, Two Thirds is Not Enough.
And make the connection.
Get your Bibles and apps ready, and John chapter 14 through 17, our focus today for this series, The Biography of God. And here's Skip Heitzik to get us started.
I'll say right off the bat that my aim this morning is to make you dissatisfied. And I want to explain that statement. Whatever level that you have right now with the Lord, it's my prayer that you'll never say, that's enough. I don't need any more. Don't need to get any more spiritual, any holier than I am. What I have is sufficient. I pray that you'll crave more, the more that we learn about Him. Lloyd John Ogilvie, who was one time the chaplain for the United States Senate, wrote, "Sadly, many Christians settle for two-thirds of God. God the Father is way up there somewhere, aloof and apart from their daily lives. Christ is out there somewhere between them and the Father. The Holy Spirit is some kind of vague force or impersonal power that they hear about but do not know intimately. So I pray that you'll have a sanctified discontentment, a holy kind of discontentment, what A.W. Tozer called the pursuit of God. I don't know if you've ever read that little book, The Pursuit of God. It was a classic that changed my life, and I took a copy off the shelf this week and was thumbing through it. And the first couple paragraphs, as Tozer describes these kind of people that have that pursuit of God, he said, these are lives that are marked by a growing hunger after God himself. They will not be satisfied till they have drunk deep at the fountain of living waters. And so here we are, we've tasted, we have drunk, but we're here to say, it's good, it's wonderful, but I want more. I want to go further. I want to go deeper. Even Paul the Apostle had that very same desire. After 30 years of walking with Christ, Paul said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Going forward, healthy, holy dissatisfaction. Thomas Edison once said, show me a thoroughly satisfied man and I'll show you a failure. So isn't it true that the more we learn about God and his majesty and his attributes and his grandeur, and we taste that relationship, we say, well, I want to know him more. I want to learn more and experience more. And then we come to the teaching of the Trinity. And if the omnipotence of God and omniscience of God and omnipresence of God isn't enough to drown us out in our own intellect, now we come to the Trinity and we stop short, right? It's like the unscalable mountain. It's the unattainable truth. How can three be one? Now, when I was a boy going to church, I didn't hear Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I heard Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So the impression that made on this little mind wasn't a good one. Okay, I would always watch Casper the Friendly Ghost every Saturday. So when I'm hearing Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it's like the little girl was with her family. They were from India, and they came to visit friends in California on the West Coast. And the host family brought the little 11-year-old girl to church one Sunday. And after church, they said, well, how'd you like it? And she said, how come the West Coast is not included? And they said, pardon me? She said, you know, in the name of the Father and the Son and the whole East Coast. It didn't get much better than that for me when I was growing up. Now, last week we mentioned that some folks, to try to get their minds around the doctrine of the three in one, the triune God, will take illustrations like the egg with the yolk and the white and the shell as a symbol of the Trinity, or water existing in three different states, though still being water, whether it's in liquid form or ice, solid form, or in vapor. It's still water, H2O. And all of those are fine, but they certainly don't do justice to it and sort of diminish the majesty of God. Now, the ancient peoples used to have a diagram that I want to show you that I found this week for the Trinity. And they would teach their people, their children, their congregation using this. Notice you have three circles in a triangle, Father on top, Holy Spirit on the bottom left, and the Son on the bottom right. And notice the lines and arrows on the outer part saying the Father is not the Son is not the Holy Spirit is not the Father, that these are separate beings, but notice they all point to the center circle, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. I think that was helpful. Not that they completely grasped it either, but I think it's helpful. Now this morning, more than explaining the Trinity to you or trying to get you to understand it, it's my hope that you will enjoy him. I want you to enjoy the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Dare I even say, explore the relationship with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. It's not to me important that you understand how the Trinity works as much as what they, the one God, mean in our daily lives. So, I've asked you to turn with me to John chapter 14. And what I want to do is give you three, and only three, there's many more principles, but three because of time, three great truths about the triune God. Three great truths about the triune God, and all of these truths matter on a daily basis. First of all, that all three do work. All three work together, and they have work to do, and it's distinct but in concert with each other. So I take you now to John chapter 14, beginning in verse 10, and how many of you have red-letter Bibles this morning? Okay, you notice that like everything's in red, right? In chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, that means Jesus is doing all or most all of the talking. This is the longest recorded sermon Jesus ever preached in the New Testament. It's to his 12 disciples. It's in the upper room. It's the night before his arrest and then his crucifixion. So look with me in John 14, beginning in verse 10, Jesus speaking. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, there's one noticeable thing, trait, about this whole message that Jesus gives in the upper room. As he goes through it, 14, 15, 16, all of it, he freely speaks of the Father and the Son himself and the Holy Spirit as three distinct persons working in harmony together. He assigns personality to them. When he speaks of the Holy Spirit, for instance, he doesn't say when it comes, when that impersonal force shows up, he gives a personal pronoun, he, him, his. And he does that with all three members of the Trinity, and then he speaks of we. So he speaks of three individuals who are doing work, all working in concert together. Now, here's a question. Do you really think that these disciples fully understood at this moment that the one being of God was shared by three co-equal, co-eternal persons? No. They grew up Jewish. They knew there was one God. They were hammered that in their hearts and minds. There's one God. The whole concept of three in one, even the concept of Jesus being God, though they came to that conclusion, all of this was new to them, and it was difficult to them. And if it was difficult to them, it's certainly difficult to us. However, the same guys wrote it down as such. They recorded what Jesus said, and they came to believe in this three in one. But, like we said last week, we can never expect to take infinite God and have him comprehended by our finite minds. Because it just seems to not make sense. Now, I was reading something that I wanted to share with you this morning. I was reading something this week in a little thin book by J.I. Packer called Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. And he has a beautiful illustration of how truths can seem to be contradictory, but they're not. They're both true. And he pulled out this word called an antinomy. I don't know if you've heard of the word antinomy. A-N-T-I-N-O-M-Y. It's an actual word in the dictionary. An antinomy is an apparent contradiction, a seeming contradiction that is not a contradiction at all. Here's the dictionary definition. An antinomy is a contradiction between conclusions which seem equally logical, reasonable, or necessary. I like to call it truths held in tension. It's an apparent contradiction, a seeming contradiction of two undeniable truths. Now, he gives an example in that little book. He says, take the realm of physics. In physics, there are a few different antinomies. One is light. And he says there's evidence that light consists of waves. But also there's evidence that light is made up of particles. But it is not readily apparent how light can exist both as wave and as particle, but it does. That, he says, is an antinomy. There's evidence that both are true. And so it is in the realm of biblical truth. You have apparent contradictions, but the conclusions are equally true and valid. Now, having said that, the Trinity is way more than a theological truth to be grasped or looked at by a scientific analogy. It's something that I believe is personal and it's very practical. And here Jesus speaks about the Father and the Spirit and the Son all doing work. Let's go back and see a couple examples of that. First of all, creation. What does the Bible say? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. That's the introductory statement. But throughout the rest of the Bible, we understand that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all took an active part. It was the Father who planned and thought of and decreed creation. I like to think of the Father as the sovereign architect of creation. But God the Son, Jesus Christ, oh, he's the builder. He's the builder. One's the architect, one is the builder. Listen carefully to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. There's only one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things. It's of him, but it's through Jesus. And John would agree with that. Remember what we read a few weeks back in the first chapter of the Gospel of John concerning Jesus Christ, the Word, the Logos? All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. Paul affirms that, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, all things were created by Jesus Christ and for him. So the Father is the architect, the Son is the builder. I look at the Holy Spirit as the project manager. He's the one that ensured the security of it all as it was being carried out. Because the second verse of the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1:2, says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Brooding is the word. It's a term used in Deuteronomy of a mother eagle brooding over and ensuring the safety over her young in the nest. That's creation. They all work together. Fast forward now to the incarnation, Bethlehem, when Jesus came into the world. Now we know that God is spirit, right? God is spirit. Jesus even declared God is spirit, which means God has no physical outward form. But the Word became flesh. So in Christ, sent by the Father, God stepped into our world and hung out here for 33 years. That's the incarnation. John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So the Father sent, the Son went, and you might say the Holy Spirit lent his power and his presence to that whole event. That's what the angel told Joseph when he was freaked out that his fiancée Mary was pregnant. And the angel came and said, Fear not, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And then you remember the baptism of Jesus at the Jordan. What happened? The heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." All three active in the incarnation. Now fast forward to another event in your life, your salvation or my salvation. You know, salvation is a whole lot more than just I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I remember the day or the night when I did this. It's way more than you. It happened way before you and I were even around. In fact, the Bible says God the Father chose you before the foundation of the world. Chose you. So the Father chose you. The Son, Jesus Christ, came to the earth and redeemed you. And it was the Holy Spirit who drew you to Christ, and once you come to Jesus Christ, sanctifies you.
You know, all three persons of the Trinity work together for our salvation, and we'll find out more about that next time here on The Connection with Skip Heitzig. The teaching you just heard was the first part of a message titled, Two-Thirds is Not Enough, from our series, The Biography of God. And if you'd like to listen again or share today's message with a friend, visit skipheitzig.com for online streaming and quick links to email the study or post it on social media. Well, Skip and Lenya are in studio to share with us today, so let's join them now. Lenya?
Today you mentioned your desire to help us feel dissatisfied. Okay, a lot of us can't get no satisfaction anyway.
I think we're talking to a lot of people who kind of dissatisfaction is the world they live in.
Right, but you're talking about a dissatisfaction perhaps with the mediocrity of our relationship with God.
How about a holy dissatisfaction?
There you go. That's great. And it's a desire that we would crave more of Him, to not like settle for the status quo or to live in these low lands and that we maybe might have a mountain experience or something different. How can we get a deeper understanding of the Trinity, and how could that help us hunger more for Him?
Well, first, I just want to say to our audience that if you're listening, you should never be afraid of anything God has for you. If He wants you to be somewhere, if He has a plan for you, if He has an experience for you to participate in, you should never be afraid if it's genuinely of Him. So Jesus spoke about to His disciples, and he talked about the future as well, when He said that all we have to do is ask the Father, and He will give the Holy Spirit. And we all need help. We can all approach the throne of grace at any time and receive that grace to help in time of need. But the great thing about the Holy Spirit is that He is that ever-present help in times of trouble.
I love that about God leaving this comforter, you know, which is one of the words for Him. And how often during the day for me, I feel His comfort, or there's times I feel the unction that I'm supposed to share the good news or comfort somebody else, or just the promptings that, you know, you can learn this sensitivity and have this, you know, relationship with the Holy Spirit from the baptism on. And what a beautiful thing it is that God has left us this communication.
And I think it's healthy to have a kind of dissatisfaction that says, Lord, I want to experience more of You. We were made to have fellowship with God. We were made to experience God. And I've never come to a place where I've had enough. You know, it's like my gas tank. It runs out of gas. I need it to be refilled. And when that little light comes on, if you wait that long, it could be dangerous. And so, you know, if you could just every day before work stop and get it all filled up, then, you know, you'd be going all the time. I think that we should daily depend on the Lord and ask the Lord to fill us with His Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit. And I've discovered that as simple, perhaps, as just meeting God where He promises. So if you just take that step and say, okay, there's a promise, I'm going to believe that and step in it and walk in it and obey it, that the Lord will meet you there and empower you there.
That's why Paul told the Ephesians to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And since I've sat under Skip Heitzig, I know that it means being constantly filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right, present tense, present active.
May you walk in the Spirit today.
Well, thanks, Skip and Lenya. And if you'd like to hear this interview again, you can listen in at skipheitzig.com when you click on today's broadcast. And our latest Connection teaching series is called The Biography of God. And this series helps bring our great God a little closer to us all.
When you order, we'll send you an audio CD package with all 14 teachings in this series bundled together. You can order a copy online at skipheitzig.com, or for personal assistance, just call 1-800-922-1888. Or you can always write The Connection. That's at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
See all three persons of the Trinity in the Bible? Find out next time here in The Connection with Skip Heitzig as he finishes out this teaching, Two-Thirds is Not Enough. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.